How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Well, not, yeah, amen. You gotta say it like you mean it. I mean, when I go, how many of you are glad to be here this morning? You can't say, amen. So, I'm going to try it again, okay? How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. Okay. So, how are you doing on this crisp Michigan morning? You know, as you get older, I was told this week that I'm not old, I'm just getting older, okay? But as I'm getting older, I'm noticing that winters are colder than they used to be. And these crisp mornings are horrendous, okay? Okay. But it looks like we're going to have a white Christmas, which ought to make some people happy. Never mind. Anyway, let's get right into it this morning. Why don't we stand together and declare what we believe about the Bible. So lift your Bible or your phone or your pad or whatever you might have above your head, hold it up towards heaven, and let's say our Bible declaration. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. You know, I think that one of the hardest assignments that a pastor has to fulfill is to come up with something new Easter after Easter, Valentine's after Valentine's Day, and Christmas after Christmas, right? As far as Christmas goes, all of us seem to be well acquainted with the wonder of the Christmas story. Amen? We all know how it goes, and we're familiar with the shepherds and the wise men and Joseph and Mary and going to the inn, the trip to Bethlehem. We've all heard it many times, and we've sung the Christmas carols, and if you hadn't, you did this morning. So the question that I wrestle with every Christmas season is this: what in the world can I preach, or what in the world can I teach to you that will be fresh and exciting about Christmas? And it doesn't help, again, that I'm getting a little older. Not that I'm old, okay? But I am getting older, and I really don't remember from year to year what I already preached to you. Come on, laugh, will you? All right. But after all of that, and after seeking the Lord, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit gave me to give to you. So please turn with me, you heard it last week, to Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. I'm sorry that I didn't start this out with a song, but you're happier that I didn't. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Gary, could you come up and pray for the sermon, please?
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can gather here today, God, gather in your name. Lord, the beginning of our phase of religion is to know that Jesus was born, God, and for us. Lord, as Pastor West preaches this message today, God, I thank you that it will become even more real to us, Lord, than it already is or already may be, God. But Father, let us just grasp your word today, Lord. I thank you that Pastor Wes can preach it with all confidence. Father, that through him, Lord, and through your word, that you're going to make a difference in our lives today. God, and we thank you, we worship you, we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. The whole church said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. The message this morning, the Christmas message this morning, is really quite simple, and it's really quite short. And everybody said, amen. Yeah. I'm going to stop with the jokes, okay, because I can see it's going to take too much energy to laugh, okay? Amen? Okay. All right. The title of the message this morning is called The Promise of Bethlehem. I'm going to start by asking you all a question. And the question is this: what is it that makes the Christmas story so special to you? What is it that makes the Christmas story so special to you personally? And I know you're thinking, what a stupid question, right? I thought you were smarter than that, Pastor Wes. I thought you knew. I mean, come on, Pastor. It's because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody knows that. It's Jesus' birthday. And I would answer you with you're right. And maybe then you would continue with, it's Advent, or the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one that we Christians call Lord, you know, Pastor Wes? And of course, I would say, yes, it's that, but it's so much more. And I guess I wonder, have you really ever thought personally what this night might really mean to you? I mean, Christmas Eve night. How this night has personally affected you? Because so much happened on that fate-filled night. So much happened. Because up until this point, until the birth of Christ, up until this point in time, there was no way, say no way, there was no way, if you will, that you could ever get to God. Come on, let alone stand in the presence of God. There was no bridge, okay, that crossed the expanse that lay between you and a holy God. You couldn't get there. There was just no way to get there from here. It's not like we lost it, not like we forgot it, not like we forgot the way or misplaced the way. The way did not exist, all right? You could not get to God. You could not get to the creator of the universe. You could not. You see, the truth is, if you weren't a priest of the tribe of Levi, then you couldn't stand in the presence like they did. You couldn't get there. Because how many of you know, at least for me, that it's a very necessary part of our Christian walk to get into and remain in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I mean, the presence of God sustains us, it strengthens us, and without the presence of God, I mean, we would be absolutely lost. What would we do in prayer if we didn't have the presence of God? What would we do in worship if we didn't have the presence of God? Why would we do those things if they didn't bring the presence of God? Am I right? Amen. Amen. But when the Advent happened, when the birth of Jesus Christ happened, life changed for absolutely everybody, at least for those who would believe that the child born on that Bethlehem night was a Savior. This morning I want to take you back a long ways, okay, before this ever occurred, to a time when man and God had unbroken fellowship with each other. In Genesis 3, chapter 9, we see that God himself used to go to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, or cool of the evening, and he would commune with the greatest of his creation. He would commune, he would talk to, and the communion is the idea of talking back and forth, having a conversation, okay? He would have that with Adam and Eve. So let's talk about, just a minute, about that creation of man, okay? What was it that made this creation so special? What set man apart from the rest of creation? I mean, after all of God's creation was beautiful. But there was something that the creation of man that made it so special that God would actually come down and commune with them. And I'm going to give you those right now. And one thing, and I'm not going to give you an all-inclusive list, But these are the things, three things that set us apart from others, other parts of the creation. Men and women have a distinct path and a distinct calling. Amen? In other words, God has a plan for our lives. Men and women are special because he gave them opportunity to make a choice. Amen? How many of you know you have a choice to follow him and a choice not to follow him? And thirdly, and probably most importantly, is the fact that man was created to have fellowship with God. Let that sink in just a minute. You were created so that you could have communion with God himself. That God found you so important, so special, so amazing, that he himself also wants to have communion with you. God was so pleased with man, all right, that we see that every day in the cool of the evening, God would spend time in fellowship with them in the garden. But then something happened. Everything was great. Everything was good. But then something happened. Something that would change absolutely everything. Something that would cause a division between man and his creator. In Genesis 3:9 again, I just want to repeat this because I want you to know where I'm at. When God came to the garden to walk in the cool of the day with them, Adam and Eve were not to be found. They were gone. They were hiding. They had made a choice, which was their right. Amen? We have a choice. It was their choice. But they made a choice while listening to a lie. How many of you know that's a bad idea? And it caused a division between them and God. Adam and Eve had disobeyed God by eating of the tree that they were told not to. And in so doing, made a way for sin to enter into the world. Just that one act of disobedience caused sin to enter into the world. They recognized their wrong and were hiding from God when he came to fellowship with them. And God said, Adam, where are you? You know, actually, if you take that apart, that really says, man, where are you? As in, hey, you guys, where are you? I mean, God is asking that question even now to you and I. Where are you? You know, are you fellowshipping with me or with him? No, well, maybe not. So he's saying, where are you? Finally, they answered him, revealing what God already knew, okay? How many of you know that God will sometimes ask you questions which he already knows the answer to? Okay, and why does he do that? He does that so that you will recognize and admit what you have done, okay? Because if we admit our sin, he can forgive our sin. I think I read that somewhere. Amen? But it was on this day that a separation was built between God and man. And unfortunately, what Adam and Eve had done affected the future of all mankind. And until that special night in Bethlehem, there was a gulf or there was a separation between God and man. But the promise of Bethlehem, say the promise of Bethlehem, is what restored the true plan of God. The promise of Bethlehem, is what restored what Adam and Eve once had. Just think about it for a minute. Until the promise of Bethlehem, if a person sinned, their sin was only covered by animal sacrifice. Covered, but it was still there. Amen? The blood of bulls and goats would cover sin, but it had no power to wash it away. But now, according to God's plan, our sin would no longer be just covered. Our sin would be washed away and cleansed by the redeeming blood of a baby born that first Christmas Eve. And I can't help but cry about that. I get moved by that. A Savior had been born into the world that could not only heal the sick and break chains of bondage and addiction and set the captive free, but a Savior had been born into the world that could forgive sin so completely that God would forget. Did you hear that? He would forgive sin so completely that God would even forget it. Jesus could so completely forgive sin that he could forget it. And that little baby one day would pay for the sins of the world and reconnect and reconcile us to God. Because in that moment, in Bethlehem, was born unto us what is described in Isaiah 9:6. And I'll read that one more time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, help me. Prince of Peace. And in Isaiah 7:14, it's written, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, if you would go with me to Matthew 1:23, it says this. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." How many of you are glad this morning that God is with us? That he never leaves us or forsakes us? Glory be to God. Oh, remember, up until this point, up until this time, only a few who were designated as priests of the sons of Levi could enter the presence of God. No one could do it, only them. And even the priest could only do that once a year. But now, because of the promise of Bethlehem, say the promise of Bethlehem, everything had changed. Now we have an advocate with the Father. Now we have a Savior. Glory to God. Now we have Emmanuel, which means God with us, indicating that because of what Jesus did, his presence is among us at all times, in all places, no matter what. Hallelujah. You ought to get happy about that this morning. Praise him this morning for that. And when you think about the promise of him never leaving us nor forsaking us, I like the way, and I've said it before, the Amplified says it, because it says it the way the Greek portrays it. It says, "I will never leave you. I will not, I will not, I will not." He's that serious about it. He will never leave us. But now, through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness received through that blood, the promise of Bethlehem has become the promise of our salvation. Glory to God. And now we can stand in the presence of a holy God, not just once a year, but 24 hours a day when you need him. He's there. Now we can approach the throne boldly, as it says in Hebrews 4:16, as a child of God. How many of you, doesn't that make you happy this morning? Doesn't that just get you excited? That's what the angels were rejoicing and singing about that night. That's what they were praising God about. They knew what the advent was to bring and what it fully meant for mankind and what it fully meant for God himself. They knew that it meant salvation for man and reconciliation with the Father. They knew God's love for mankind and the aloneness that God felt because of man's failure that broke their fellowship. That one gets me too. That God could feel an aloneness because I didn't talk to him. The angels knew that mankind was being ushered back in to the presence of God through the blood of his son that was born that day as a babe in swaddling clothes. And they knew that on the day of redemption, or that the day of redemption had come for all of mankind, for those who would choose to believe in him and follow him. At that moment, I really believed that the gates of hell began to tremble. And I really don't think they've stopped trembling since, because of what Jesus Christ's birth, death, and resurrection would accomplish. I mean, we no longer have to go through a priest. We can approach God ourselves because of the promise of Bethlehem. All that happened on that night of Jesus' birth, we celebrate his birth, but we celebrate so much more than just his birth. And I feel like I skipped half of the message, if you know what I mean. But I told you it was going to be short. But the promise of Bethlehem is what we should be excited about today. I mean, sure, we get a lot of gifts on Christmas time, and some people say that's horrible because it's so commercialized. I happen to enjoy getting gifts, okay? But we celebrate the future resurrection of Jesus at the birth of Jesus, and the forgiveness of sin, and the promise of life and life more abundant, all because of the promise of Bethlehem. All because of that first night, that one night, the night the shepherds got excited, the night the angels were excited, and the night that Joseph and Mary ended up staying in a stable and birthing Jesus there. Help me. That's the promise of Bethlehem. That's what we have to hold on to today. It doesn't matter if things look bad. It doesn't matter if things are better than they have ever been before. We have to hold on to the promise of Bethlehem. We can get all kinds of gifts. We can get motorcycle parts. We can get Jeep parts. But I was just going to say, could you put that on the thing for pastor appreciation next year? You can have all that joy that comes from receiving, but you have already, glory be to God, you have already received the promise of Bethlehem. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.